And away we go. It is a Getaway Friday here, Friday, November 28th, 2025, last Friday in the month of November. You're tuned into the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker. I think we're going to hear from Pastor Whitaker before the program is over today, but joined in studio today by Bob Welch and Matt Morgan. What a morning we've had. Former Major League umpire Larry Barnett in here this morning, as well as the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Bob, what a morning it's been.
Big. It's been big.
Only the biggest here at WGH Radio.
And we accidentally discovered it was the 50th anniversary of the bad call.
Of the good call. Well, it's shocking to me because last night, I didn't even notice it last night when I, after the Thanksgiving festivities were over and I was done decorating, I thought I'm going to see if there are any stories on that that whole to-do, and I knew there were. And this one came up, and then I was sitting here this morning with Larry, and I'm thinking, 75, that's 50 years ago this year. And then I thought, November 13th, that's this month. We're still in November. 50 years ago this happened.
It's incredible.
What are the odds?
I said 1 in 50.
Oh, it's more than that. it's astronomical, the odds. Now, we did not get to some things earlier because of all the stuff that was going on here in the studio. And one of the things we did not get to is every year on this day, I think it's the fourth year you've done it, you bring the Lazarus bread pudding chin. How did this all come to be?
Well, now, this is only the second year, and already it's a
third.
Third year for the bread pudding?
I think you're getting memory issues.
Maybe. All right. Maybe it must be the whiskey sauce.
Because I remember last year thinking, this is the second year, this is a little runny.
Oh.
Because the first time I thought it was just runny, and then last year I thought it's still runny. Maybe this is the way it was made.
Well, maybe it's the way it's meant to be.
I don't know. It could be.
If you followed the recipe, I mean, I have the recipe.
All I'm saying is
the recipe. I mean, that's
when I got bread pudding.
But I will correct you on that. I did add about 10 minutes of baking time to it because Scott said it was runny, so I made sure.
You didn't think it was runny?
Last year, I thought it was all right.
Yeah, I thought it was good last year.
Well, there you go. Two against one.
Well, just the bread pudding that I remember from the Amish country and from Smorgasbord was not that runny.
What is Smorgasbord?
Was a buffet here in Marion that was known for their bread pudding.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I like that.
And leave out the raisins because I'm not a big raisin fan.
Oh, yeah, I can respect that.
So, but did you tell the story about it? That's what I was going for. Why this bread pudding recipe, and where did it come from, and what was it?
Well, originally, it came from the old Lazarus department store. They had downtown. They had a couple of they had a small restaurant on every floor, different levels, and the more expensive, the ritzy one was called the Chintz Room. And there,
why?
I guess it was chintzy and rich. I don't know.
What does chintz mean, rich?
I
thought chintzy meant like kind of low class.
No, I think it means, I think it's the opposite.
Is it really? So if I say that's kind of chintzy, you've kind of chintzed on the decorations here. That means good?
I think that would mean good. Matt's looking it up right now.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's right, but okay.
But anyway, that was the name of their fifth floor restaurant, was the Chintz Room. And there they had the more highfalutin items to eat, one being the bread pudding.
That was highfalutin?
Highfalutin.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you spell this?
Chintz.
Okay, well, printed multicolored cotton fabric with glazed finish used especially for curtains and upholstery.
See?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right.
So it was named after upholstery.
Upholstery.
Yep.
Okay. Well, now we know.
Highfalutin upholstery.
Well, I'm glad we straightened that out.
There you go.
That's good to know.
All right. So, Bob, you have it.
You learn something new every day.
And it's got, now, did it come with bourbon sauce?
Whiskey sauce, yes.
It did it at Lazarus.
Yes. Yeah.
Really?
I mean, it's part of the recipe as well, and maybe you wouldn't order that, you know, if you had your 6 year old there, you know, but.
So old man Lazarus was, he liked his bourbon and whiskey.
I'm not saying that, but apparently.
Well, it sounded like it.
He had the end there. But their marketing tactic was to put a restaurant or a little cafe on every floor in the back of the department store so that you would have to walk through all the merchandise to get there.
Oh, they're clever.
Yeah, they were clever. You know.
But they went belly up.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of places did, but
the bread pudding couldn't save them.
Isn't this the same guy who, like, convinced the president to make, like, Thanksgiving always, like, the fourth?
The fourth Thursday of the month, yes.
It's still coming late, though, by the way.
One of the Lazarus brothers was on the committee, I don't know what petitioning, but dogging FDR into changing Thanksgiving.
Are you sure about that, Bob?
Yes.
I don't know.
I have a book. It's called The Lazarus and Company, it's called Look to Lazarus. It's published locally here.
Was the author David Myers?
No, I don't think he wrote this one.
So there have been more than one book? There's been more than one book published on the history of the Lazarus department store?
Possibly.
Okay. I mean, Did you take a picture of that, Matt?
It's a big topic.
Well, you said I could have it. It was
no, no, no. But we need a picture of it for the show here.
It doesn't say an author on the page there, but
I want to see this thing.
By the way, I we looked up the actual definition, but if you get on the Urban Dictionary, the definition
the Urban Dictionary.
Yeah, I mean,
what is this? Not Urban Myers, mind you, even
Lazarus bread pudding with whiskey sauce from recipes from our kitchen. Okay,
yeah. There you go.
Gotcha.
Yes, chintz is very cheap and low quality.
Cheap! I knew it was. Yeah. Well, once again, I've been proven to be right.
Chintz is to be cheap, miserly, not willing to pay for quality, or wanting to just get by as opposed to making a good investment.
Well, see, that's why Lazarus didn't stay around.
Apparently.
Cheap quality.
That and people figuring out about buying.
I assume the thought was, if they called it, I assume it was like bargain.
Maybe. All right.
You think?
I'm going to go home today and read the book.
Well, maybe, see, I guess, I don't know that they had a hidden sandwich. No, these are other things, right?
They have another recipe there.
Oh, okay.
Well.
But this is the one from Lazarus.
This is the one from Lazarus.
Okay.
Right out of the Lazarus.
So why did this 3 years ago end up becoming part of the program?
You were asking for a something to be made for the show after Thanksgiving, apparently 3 years ago. And I said, well, I could do a bread pudding, but in order to make it a pizza-related one, we'll just use old pizza crust instead of old bread crust. And it became history after that.
Now, Mary out there is saying, chintzy means cheap and poor quality. Chintz means brighten the room with fresh paint and fabric.
There you go. She must be right.
So do we have the famous bread pudding?
Yes, we do. Would you like me to get it out here so you can gander at it?
Well, I would guess. I mean, I would think at some point we would get to that here, Bob.
Okay.
We're down to the final 2 hours here.
Well, oh my gosh, it's a countdown
time.
Time's
moving right
along. By the way, we should probably unveil the pizza first. The Christmas-themed pizza. Right?
We could do that, but
is there a problem with this?
No. It might be a little bit of a surprise to you.
A surprise? Well, it will be a surprise because I haven't seen it.
Although it is the perfect... the perfect item, the food item, after Thanksgiving. It is what everybody is having today.
Leftovers? It's a leftover pizza? That's a little chintzy, I'll tell you that. If it's a leftover pizza, that's a little chintzy. All right, the...
leftover.
Oh, it's the same pizza from Wednesday. It's the pumpkin roll pizza.
Yeah.
Well, how about that?
Look at that.
Well...
Did you run out of time, Bob? What happened in the last 2 days?
Frankly, yes, I did.
Well, I'm sorry to hear about that.
I ended up at 3:30 this morning to get ready to make the bread pudding.
I had no idea I put this kind of pressure on you.
You do. And I'm out there looking for plaques and doing research.
Then I said find a baseball last night at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Which I didn't get until like 4 o'clock this morning.
Well, no, I was going through the Larry Barnett notes, and I thought, well, we've got to have a baseball.
But... being a modern person, I don't look at my email that often, and so I didn't.
4 a.m. this morning, you did.
4 a.m. this
morning. Yeah. Well, so it's the pumpkin roll. You know what's interesting? I put a picture up every year of what pizza you bring,
mm-hmm.
and for some reason, that one did not go over big. And it's odd because I would guess that it was probably one of the better tasting pizzas.
Did you have any?
No, I did not, because I'm talking during the show. And you ran out of here with that, which normally you don't do. You usually leave the leftovers, but you ran out. I thought maybe there was something special about that pizza the way you ran out of here with it on Wednesday.
Well, I know the critters that run around here, and I didn't think it was...
I don't know why you think there are critters running around. Never in this office have there been.
Matt, look at that box right there.
Yeah, well, yes, but I'm telling you, that's from a former residence. There's never been any animal in this room of any type.
Well, I'll make sure I empty that box out here before we leave today, and we'll see what it looks like next year.
Empty it outside. No, that stays in the totes, the plastic totes.
Well, that doesn't mean the plastic totes are critter-free.
Well, let's see the chintz. You get that chintzy sauce out. I'm hoping to God that this bread pudding's drier than in past years, because that'll really set off the whiskey sauce.
I don't know.
There's the whiskey sauce.
Now, and really, if you keep running it down, there may not be...
I'm not running it down, Bob. Don't take this personally. I'm just saying it was a little wet the last 2 years.
I thought it was fun.
Bread pudding is not supposed to be wet.
I think bread pudding is supposed to be wet.
No, absolutely not.
Well, now, are you like Marion's test kitchen chef or something like that?
I am. It was like cereal, Bob. It was like cereal.
Well, cereal can be wet. It can be dry. What are you
talking
about?
It was wet cereal. This is supposed—it's supposed to be like bread.
I don't think no.
Yeah, bread, because that's why you put the sauce on it.
They're supposed to, yeah, but they're supposed to.
Oh, holy mackerel! Bob's got a pot holder.
It was a hot dish.
Listen, Bob, I'm not. I don't get so testy, for God's sake. Oh, you brought the good china this year. Normally, you bring it in some plastic container. You gonna take a picture of this, Matt? You're missing. Look at this. Now that looks like bread pudding. That looks like a... Now, see, I would have brought that out in front of Larry and Mary Ellen if I'd known.
Well, I tried.
Well, yeah, but I thought you brought that normal, runny bread pudding in your plastic container. I didn't want to be embarrassed in front of Larry and Mary Ellen.
Now they're going to go home. And
they're going to go home. I'm sorry they missed this now.
Scott cut us out. We didn't get any of the...
I'm sorry now that they missed this moment.
But no, they were offered.
When did you start using the good china there?
The same dish I used the last year.
That is not the same. No, because you leave it behind, and I know that was not left here.
Well, I believe I scooped it out and gave you something in an old Chinese dish or something.
An old Chinese dish? Did we? I didn't realize the dishes around here had ethnicities.
They do.
It was a Chinese dish?
From a Chinese
dish. God almighty, Bob. You're gonna get calls. I'm telling you, keep that up. You're going to get calls. I know you normally leave the sauce. Now, I've put the sauce on other items.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's very good. You can put it on cookies. Why not put it on ice cream, but I put it on cookies.
Yeah, instead of hot fudge, just put it on the hot whiskey sauce there.
You can put it on certain types of cake. You can put it on certain types of pie. It's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. You leaving the sauce again this year? Are you going to hightail it out of here like you did with that pumpkin roll the other day?
Left.
Holy mackerel. No, but I liked it. We'll have this tonight on the air.
On the air, all right.
Maybe we'll invite somebody in. See, I put all that stuff away now. The plates are all gone.
I don't think this table's
dirty. Yeah, well, they're in one of those boxes.
One of the boxes.
Yeah. I tried to clean it up in here.
See? Yeah. Wednesday, I saw...
No, one of the banana boxes.
I saw the collection of all the paper products that you had.
There it is.
I don't need to bring anything because it's all here. And then you got rid of it.
Now, heaven forbid, don't make a mess. Took me forever to clean this up the other night.
But I will commend you that I did notice that the trash cans have been emptied.
Yeah, well, I told Wednesday's trash day.
Okay.
Thursday's trash day, so we take out the trash on Wednesday night.
So it's the FDR rule, like the fourth Wednesday of the month?
Exactly right. One of the Lazarus brothers went to FDR and said, could you please hold off on taking out the garbage until the fourth Wednesday of November?
All right. I'm glad we're good.
We only need three of these plates, don't we?
I thought they were bowls.
Well, make sure you put these plates
there. Bowls in there, too.
And we only need three... Bowls? No, I don't think we have any bowls.
I thought I saw bowls the other day.
I don't think you ever brought that in the china like that, Bob. Mm-hmm. Because we wouldn't have a bowl around here. I'm sure we wouldn't.
No, just a paper bowl.
A paper bowl?
Yeah, because in the box there. Because you don't want the whiskey sauce to run off your plate and down your lap or anything.
Well, I don't think you're dipping that much on there, I wouldn't think. All right. Now, this will be good. I'm excited.
All right.
Now you can put these styrofoam plates back in there. I don't know what this is all about.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out.
just leave all that down until we're done. Then you can put it back up there.
It's kind of like one of those puzzles. You take it apart, you can't put it back together again.
Well, we're trying to cut down on the mesh, you know?
The mesh.
We don't want... Christian was having a conniption the other day because he felt we were disorganized. We don't need that sort of thing going on.
Yeah, we don't want any rumors running around about the place not being tidy.
Oh, it's certainly tidy now, I'll tell you that. I went to great lengths the other night.
Oh, yeah, organized.
Yeah, I certainly did. Yeah. I want you to get bourbon sauce all over my Larry Barnett autographed...
I want to get that off the table, even. And get it.
Are you going to get that messy here, Bob? We've got cords and microphones.
Well, we shouldn't notify the public that if we do go off the air, it's because something leaked onto the one of the connections there.
Well, no, we won't have that problem this year because it's not runny like it normally is.
Well, the whiskey sauce is.
No, but the bread pudding, runny.
And actually, we got one more chore to do.
What's that?
We have to clear a path to the microwave so that you can heat up the whiskey sauce.
Well, I'll get it in there.
What do you think, Matt? What are the odds he's going to get it in there?
Listen, I've got stuff in this. I pop popcorn in this microwave.
Yeah, we pop popcorn. That is true.
You just lay it on the floor.
That's good stuff, by the way. I love popcorn.
Well, you can bring something tonight. This is my,
I'll bring some popcorn.
No, I don't want any popcorn.
Well,
popcorn makes noise. You can't have popcorn.
Yeah.
I think the microwave makes noise.
Just a little bit.
Well, popcorn makes a little bit of
noise. You want me to warm this up, Bob? You didn't realize it was going to get this. It's a demanding morning here, Bob. I'm still stressed out that you almost didn't get the star on the tree up there. I was a little nervous.
At the rodent there on top of the microwave.
Yeah, that came from one of our county commissioners.
It did, in fact, yes.
Can you imagine Larry Barnett as a county commissioner? Wouldn't that have been something?
I think he would have been great.
Yeah, that's right. You're out. He would have been great.
I think it would have been great.
Mary Ellen felt he would have been a wonderful county commissioner.
Oh, I think he couldn't have done any
other. Now, Matt, here's what I want you to do so the people at home won't miss out on this opportunity. When I get this whatever out, this chint sauce, when I pour it, I don't know
how long you want that in there, but it's been in there for 30 seconds now.
Well, it's got to be in there longer than 30 seconds.
You put it in there for 3 minutes.
I'll get to it, Matt. Don't worry. Don't stress out. I want you to just take it just of the me drizzling it over, and then snap a picture at the end when it's all drizzled.
And then,
because we're all visual here at this station.
And then when Scott's done, take a picture and see how steady he is on his feet.
No, well, how much bourbon did you put in the sauce?
I went for 50% more.
Didn't you hear that Larry was trying to get good with the Lord? And here you go, Bob.
Well, now it is a well-known fact documented in the Bible that the first miracle that the Lord performed was turning water into wine.
Yes.
And so I think the Lord is on board with whiskey.
Oh, Bob. Ooh, it's a good microwave.
You've nuked it.
That's what a microwave does. Oh man, we're getting a call here. Oh, I bet this is Pastor Whitaker. We'll just halt everything for a moment.
Maybe he has a word about the Lord.
Well, stop. And as we continue on here this morning, this is the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker. We're glad to have him here this day after Thanksgiving, 2025. Pastor Whitaker, how are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, but I got to tell you something. With all the things going on with Thanksgiving and all the events going on in the last week, I forgot it was Friday until I just saw your text.
Well, we're glad to have you with us for the remainder of the program.
I should know the date.
What's that?
I should know the date.
Well, Pastor, how was Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving was great. I had a grandson that got pretty injured the day before, so I spent most of Thanksgiving Eve at the hospital at Children's, and he's going to be okay, but then we've got, my kids. They're at Fulton Creek Road and State Route 257, the dairy at Fulton Creek. They sell live Christmas trees this time of year, and they are selling, they are cut the day before they get them, and so they have a beautiful selection of trees. But anyway, they were in the middle of trying to get all that set up when their son got injured, so it's been really kind of a crazy thing, stuff going on around here. A lot of people running in a lot of directions, but we're all good and wonderful. I, in spite of all that, we had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Everyone, I think, was pretty thankful, and I pray that everyone still is. I enjoyed the show last week talking about Thanksgiving. But guess what we're on to now?
What's that?
Christmas.
Oh, yes.
My favorite time of year, I love it. You know, we decorate the church. I mean, it is like a winter wonderland. I just believe that it's got to be a happy time for kids. And, of course, this year we'll be decorating the old KP Hall in Prospect, too. I just, you know, there's a lot of kids that don't have a lot of excitement there or at home, so it's nice when they can come somewhere and really feel that special time of year that it is when we celebrate the birth of our Savior.
You know, Pastor, there's always an interesting conversation that goes on in a church at this time of year. How much decorating should go on, trees and things of that nature?
Well, that's up to the individual person and where they're convicted. I believe that any time that you, first and foremost, I want to say that we celebrate the birth of Jesus. The next thing I'd like to say is that the Christmas time and the trees and life, we don't, you know, I hear these churches that are, I would call them purists, but I don't find too much pure about them, that that want to talk about, oh, that's a pagan thing. And I'll be honest with you, around the world, people have celebrated the birth of Christ, and without going down a pagan road, we know that St. Nicholas was a guy that gave, and it's all about giving. I mean, it's the most giving time of year. If God can give his son, we should be able to give. I love the giving spirit. One thing I found around this time of the year, people have such more of a giving spirit that there just is a difference. If you notice when you go into stores, people will hold a door, or they'll say thank you, or there's just something different in the air. And, you know, we have so much going on at the church. You know, we even try to accommodate people clear up to Christmas Eve. We don't do it till 9 o'clock at night, and it's only an hour service. We do a candlelight service. It doesn't even usually last an hour, usually half an hour. But we tell the parents, bring your kids in their pajamas so you don't have to fight them when they get home. And, you know, we start at 9 so they get all their stuff done at day. And we just try to make it a warm service. We sing a few Christmas songs. And we read the Christmas story. It's all about accommodation and loving people. You know, Sunday night, we had our Thanksgiving meal at the hall, and we served probably 80 people Thanksgiving. And it's wonderful to have the giving spirit. So when you talk about decorating, people can do what they want, but if they come in our church, they're going to see a minimum of 5 Christmas trees. And you can condemn me for that if you want, but that's okay. That's okay. We've got one in the sanctuary that goes clear to the ceiling, and we have 12-foot ceilings, so ha-ha.
Well, it's a nice thing to walk into a church this time of year and see Christmas trees and lights, and it really adds to the whole spectacle and feeling of the holiday season.
It really does, and you know, I get, sometimes people just get so caught up. It's like, I'll give you another really a good example. People that don't celebrate Easter because of all the pagan practice of the spring solstice and all that, get over it for crying out loud. You know, we teach our kids about Jesus' resurrection for Easter like we're supposed to, and they understand that story. But is there really anything wrong with my little grandkids running around with a basket, giggling and picking up eggs? No. You know, they're not going, oh, wow, we're worshiping the pagan mother, blah, blah, this. You know, I just get, it gets so, I realize that we can, we just have to have wisdom in what we teach.
Yeah, and I don't think any of these things are rooted in evil thoughts.
No. Now, Halloween, there's some really creepy stuff that can go on during that time. But I'll tell you something. At Halloween, every year, out in front of the church, we hand out candy, and we have hot dogs, hot chocolate, and coffee. And we serve a whole bunch of it and talk to a lot of people and share with people. And some churches would say, oh, that's horrible that you do that. But, you know, I'm just not going there, you know. This year for Christmas, I'll give you a good example. This year for Christmas, we will probably serve, I don't know, close to 100 kids for Christmas. We'll help, you know. And are you telling me that if we didn't celebrate that side of Christmas, a lot of those kids wouldn't have anything Christmas morning. You know, I've had parents come to me, you know, and say, you know, I don't know what we're going to do this year. I just got laid off, or, you know, we had this happen to our family, and, you know, maybe, you know, some people and more people than you would know, or maybe you would, live so much week to week and hand to mouth that if a furnace goes out or a car breaks down, they have no money. Now what are they supposed to do? I don't want to see people, even if they can afford a credit card, go into credit card debt they have to pay down later because their kids don't get anything at all. There was a year that Shirley and I literally made our kids toys. It was back in the early 80s when we went through a kind of recession bump. And I was out of work. And it was a wonderful Christmas. But, you know, you've got to, I don't know, I think if you have a compassionate heart with people, that you're going to not worry about so much of that stuff. Our church, I just want to tell you, will be very decorated. I just like the beauty of the church. We just finished painting the church. It hadn't been completely painted long before we had it, probably in, I don't know when the last, I talked to a guy at Mike's Roofing, and he was telling me that he hadn't seen the church look that good since he was a kid, and he's 60. So, but we just, there's a, over the porch of the church, there's a stained glass window that was covered up with some old Lexan. And it was stained glass, and it said Reformed Church. And it was original glass. And we uncovered it and cleaned it when we painted it. And I went up in the porch attic behind it and backlit it. And it's just beautiful. Some people will say, well, you're not the Reformed Church. No, but the stained glass is beautiful, isn't it? So that's where I stand, Scott.
You know, Pastor, today's the first day of the holiday season. We'll have about 27 days this year in the holiday season. What are the big things that stick out in your mind that are to come in the next month?
Well, I think the next month, first of all, I really pray that people don't get overly stressed. You know, you can do what you can do. And there are agencies and places out there to help people. I pray that the people that need help don't. I pray that there's enough for everyone to go around. I'll leave it at that. And I pray that I think people are going to. One thing I want to encourage people to do that doesn't cost a lot of money. Now, I know that going to see the lights that you drive through a place can be quite expensive. Delaware's doing a drive-through, and theirs is like $30. Do you know how much the Marion one is at the fairgrounds?
You know, I'm not sure. It's certainly not that expensive.
No, it's not a lot. But that's something you can do for children that is so inexpensive. And even if you can't afford to do that, when we were kids growing up, we didn't have any of this wildlife stuff, but my dad would drive to a really nice neighborhood. Typically where we were at, it was up Arlington in Columbus. And he would just drive around in awe of, do some of those kind of things for your kids. And, you know, have them help put up a tree. Don't make it a difficulty. Don't fight over what you don't have. Don't tell kids they're not getting anything if they're bad. You know, kids are going to be bad. And just make it a joyous time. One thing we did at church several years ago is we sent some people home with a lady put together baking cookie packages. And this lady went home and they did not have any money. And she baked cookies with those kids. It was the first time they'd done it. And she called me later. She left a message at the church later and said, that was the most wonderful experience we could have had. Thank you very much. So I guess I'm only saying there's a lot of simple things we can do. But try to enjoy the time off with your kids. Don't make it a burden. You know, I had a little girl one time years ago when I was doing a community service that out in the community that was said to me, Pastor Steve, she said, we're going to have a good Christmas this year. And I said, why is that, honey? She said, well, she said, Dad promised to lay off weed during the month of December. Well, that may sound a little extreme. I want to ask parents out there, you know, if you have those things that you do, that you indulge in, that may cost a lot of money, try to limit them during this time. Make it more about others than don't. You know, when you get that paycheck, kind of, maybe I won't go to the bar this weekend. I only say these things because you know what happens, Scott, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And think of your children, think of your parents. That's another thing that I'd like to see happen in the next month is please, please, please visit our shut-ins and our elderly. They are so lonely. A lot of them, I just got off the phone with a lady whose mother's passing, and she said her brother and sister don't live far away and have not been to see her since she's been in the nursing home. You know, come on, man. You know, love people. It's not that hard. You know, love doesn't cost a dime.
No, and you know, I'm glad you bring that up because I was recently made aware that they are listening to us out at Presidential Post Acute. So hello to all the people out there at Presidential Post Acute.
Well, hello to you too. Hello, everyone at Presidential. I know Frank goes there and does a service. You know Frank.
Yeah.
Frank does a service every now and then at Presidential. Nice place, good people working there. And, yeah, I'm glad you people are listening. You know, God loves you guys. I know you're in a tight spot right now, and some of you are wondering why. But it's all with age, and I want you to know that there are those out there that are praying for you and that are loving you. And I pray that more people, it's not that hard to walk in the nursing home and walk up to the desk and say, hey, is there anyone that doesn't get visitors that could use a visit from someone to encourage them? That's a pretty easy thing to do. And guess what? That's another thing that doesn't cost any money. We can do a lot of kind things this time of year. They're important. I love it when people come to our Christmas Eve service. Like I said, it's 9 o'clock at night, and they're on at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. And you know one of the best Christmas Eve services we've ever had, according to the people that come there? It was about 12, 13 years ago. We all showed up at the church for the Christmas Eve service to get things ready, and the furnaces were out. And as people came, and we couldn't get them fixed on Christmas Eve, obviously. So we tried to drain the water down, but we told everyone as they came in, please leave your coats on. The furnaces are out. It was a very cold Christmas Eve. And it was really funny because everyone's sitting in there, they're huddled up next to each other. They're eating cookies in the sanctuary, which is just fine. And they're bundled up, and they're singing Christmas songs, and you can see their breath in the sanctuary. We had candles lit, and it was just wonderful. And a lot of people said that was the best one they'd ever been to. Isn't that interesting?
Well, I think there's something to that, because every year here at the station, and I've been interviewing them for years, the week of Thanksgiving, we have on the Y-Men group, because they sell the live Christmas trees here in Marion. They go on sale on Black Friday. And the first year of the pandemic, which was 2020, I had them on, like I normally do. They started their sale, and within 1 week, they had sold out of every tree. I don't think that had happened before, and I don't think it's happened since.
Isn't that something? You know, Kelly and John at the there on Fulton Creek, like I said, it's on 257, which is about 3 miles north of Prospect there on the river. And they're right there on the corner of Fulton Creek. But they have their live trees. And Kelly actually has greenery, and she makes great blankets and wreaths. And tomorrow happens to be their Christmas market, which is going to be in the evening. It'll be from 7 to 9:30. There'll be all kinds of vendors there. And the reason that I want to mention this is because there will be I believe that the food trailer there tomorrow will be donating everything to LifeWise Academy. And what I could just, can I say something about that while we got a minute?
Yeah, go right ahead.
LifeWise Academy, I want to explain what it is because a lot of people don't understand. LifeWise Academy is a out-of-school time teaching kids about the Bible. And the reason that we have it is that back literally around 1960, a little bit before, a little bit after, right around in 1960, the Supreme Court made a ruling that because they took the Bible out of the schools and were only teaching secular history and secular things, that they would allow for children to be released for 2 hours a week to leave school grounds and school property and be taught the Word of God. Now, what's important about that is, I know a lot of people oppose it. I've heard a lot of people say, oh, I don't want my kids taught that. Well, your kids aren't taught that. This is something that a parent voluntarily signs their kids up for them to go to. And here's the thing. You know, the churches or the schools and most of the universities in this country were founded by people to learn the Bible and the Word of God. Well, as things change and people aren't there, we do have a country that has great freedoms, and we should be free to allow our children to be taught what we believe in that way. And that if understand that in the schools in the last 30 or 40 years, they have not been allowed to be taught anything about God. And it's not really fair in a free country that our children spend an entire day at school and can't be taught. So what it does, it doesn't make the schools teach this. It allows them to leave school and be taught off grounds. And what we do is we pick the kids up. It's done during a time that's coordinated with the office, so the kids are not leaving during a time that's taking anything away from their instruction time, either lunch and recess or at some point. I know at Elgin we do lunch and recess, which is good because the kids want to be there, and they have their lunch at LifeWise. But anyway, the kids are taught, you know, just basic Bible stories and about the Bible, and then they go back to school. It's really a good thing, and it's fair. It's fair that our kids are able to be taught that side of creation and of other things that they're not able to be taught now in the school. We do live in a free country. It's completely voluntary. So the point is, it's also something that is completely funded by the community. And it doesn't come out of your tax money. It doesn't come out of your school money. And if the community doesn't fund it, the dollars just aren't there. But one thing that kind of hurt us a little bit, the Columbus Dispatch came out with a thing a year ago about all the money they had made in the last year. And what they didn't understand is all those dollars coming into a 501c3, and their money's coming in, but their money's that hadn't gone back out yet because of the programs being supported and the literature and everything that goes with it, with transportation. And it's so I had someone recently say, well, I'm not giving to that program. They had, like, I forget what the paper said they had in profit the year before. That is not profit. It all goes back out the door. You know, the CEO of LifeWise, which is Joel Penton. Joel Penton was an Ohio State football player who actually 20 years ago won the humanitarian Heisman. I forget the exact name of it, but they call it that because it's the one player in the country that does most for charity and community of all the college football players. But anyway, Joel's the CEO of that company. And I mean, of LifeWise, and it's become something that's nationwide now. This man is heavily, heavily burdened and busy, and he's got five kids. I think they've got their sixth on the way, but he makes less. His salary is less than a starting school teacher, and that is not an organization that is bleeding people for money and not putting it back into the kids. But like I said, we're going to be some of the stuff we do will be going towards that. This at the dairy at Fulton Creek, which I said is Saturday from 7 to 9:30. And there's a lot of crafts and goodies and things people buy. People have tables set up. So come on out and enjoy it. It'll be a good day. I just look forward to all the wonderful things that family does for people. They were just written up in a dairy magazine, the Ohio Dairy Magazine, I forget the name of it. They just had a full write-up on them and their family and all the things they do. Just really great, great people. But, yeah, I wanted to mention that and plug that just a little bit if you didn't mind.
No, it sounds wonderful, and that'll all be tomorrow. Now,
yeah, 7 to 9:30. And it'll be lit up. You can see it coming down the road, I promise you that.
Perfect. Pastor, we've got about 2 minutes left in the program today. If people are interested in coming over to the church or are interested in some of the activities coming up this holiday season, what are the best times and ways to get involved?
Well, we've got Team Kids still going on this month for kids. It's from 6:30 to 8 o'clock on the first and third Tuesdays of the month. And we have Beads with Pastor, and we'll be doing, at some point, we'll be doing Christmas caroling. And we are at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. If you need to call us and check out information, it's 740-494-2222. And, you know, like I said, we'll have a wonderful Christmas program this year for kids. Just a lot of neat stuff going on there. And first and foremost, we want to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely, Pastor. Well, next week we'll get together and we will be in the full bloom of the holiday season.
God bless you, buddy. You take care.
Thanks, Pastor. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Pastor Steve Whitaker, the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. And remember, the pastor spot here on WGH Talk Radio can be heard every Friday morning, 11:15 a.m. until 12 p.m. live here on the station. And you can catch it in the archives, WWGH1071.com. Go to the archive section and find the pastor spot. They are all on there, I think dating back to almost the very beginning of the show in 2018. Hard to believe so much time has passed. Now remember, you can also get us on the TuneIn app, which is, you can get that just about anywhere, any smart TV, laptop, cell phone, anything you've got, smart device, even your Alexas and your Google Docs and your Siris, will pull that up wherever you are, and you can listen to WGH Talk anywhere in the world. We'll be back right after this short but important break. We've got one more hour on this Friday morning.
The place for holiday fun, with legendary comedian Gallagher reading 'Twas the Night Before Christmas.
'Twas the Night Before Christmas.